From the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street, this is WMVP WSHE HD2, Chicago. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Major happenings on the west side of the city with the Chicago Blackhawks. This is a team right now that has no leadership, as Stan Bowman has stepped aside for what happened in 2010. The investigation that the Blackhawks commissioned through General Block was an independent investigation. The Blackhawks had nothing to do with it, as the investigator said. They let them do wherever they
full
let
access
them,
to everything.
Full access to everything.
And everybody.
Whatever turned up, they were allowed to interview who they want, find out what they wanted, and I want to give you the results.
It was truly an independent investigation.
It seems that way. And the Blackhawks are acting like they're being fully accountable regarding this. I want to play you the sound, because then we can give you our opinions, and I want to hear from you. 312-332-3776. Also, just in, the NHL has fined the Blackhawks $2 million, and Stan Bowman, again, has stepped aside. So this was being called into question to begin with. How good was Stan Bowman actually leading this hockey team?
Where was this group going?
Where is this group going? This is a team right now on the ice that hasn't had a lead all year. So, a mess that Rocky cleaned up from his father. A PR disaster. His father passes away. People are surprised that Rocky gets the team. And Rocky is able to throw out all the bad stuff and create this new vibe and new energy.
You can finally see the games.
And now he has himself his own problems that him and Danny, the leader of the organization, must handle right now. But without further ado, so Reed Schar is the guy from General Block, who is the independent investigator. They're not representing the Blackhawks in the lawsuit that he will detail here. The story happened back in the 2010 postseason. This is the year that the Blackhawks ended up winning their first Stanley Cup in several years. This is right after they find out, right after they sweep San Jose. So they go through that Western Conference playoffs. They win the Western Conference final 4-0. And then they get this report, and I believe that's where Reed Schar takes it up, and he tells you who knew what was discussed, and eventually what was not done. And then we'll play you Danny Wirtz announcing the happenings going forward with the Blackhawks. Here is Reed Schar, the independent investigator from Jenner and Block.
On May 23rd, within an hour after the Blackhawks won the game that secured their place in the Stanley Cup Finals, 5 members of Blackhawks senior management, then President John McDonough, Mr. McIsaac, Stan Bowman, then Executive Vice President Jay Blunk, and then Assistant General Manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, along with Coach Joel Quenneville and Mr. Gary, met to discuss what had been learned about Aldrich and John Doe. Accounts of that meeting vary significantly, and the participants had limited recollection of the details of the meeting. At a minimum, though, the senior leaders, including then-President John McDonough, were informed of alleged sexual harassment of a player by a coach, including efforts by the coach to engage in unwelcome sexual activity with that player. Several witnesses recalled and later told others about a discussion that then ensued during the meeting regarding whether the time was right to address the allegations against Aldrich in light of the ongoing playoffs. One witness recalled that during the meeting, Mr. McDonough and Coach Quenneville made comments about the challenge of getting to the Stanley Cup Finals and a desire to focus on the team and the playoffs. What is clear is that after being informed of Aldrich's alleged sexual harassment and misconduct with a player, no action was taken for 3 weeks. One witness recalled that the decision on how to proceed was left in Mr. McDonough's hands, and another witness recalled Mr. McDonough saying he would speak to John Doe. Mr. McDonough did nothing to address the allegations until June 14th, after the playoffs were over, when he reported the information to the Director of Human Resources. While there was a lack of recollection as to whether anyone else present in the meeting besides Mr. McDonough needed to or would take any additional steps, nothing was done by the other senior leaders to address the situation. As a result, the Blackhawks' own sexual harassment policy, which required investigation of all reports of sexual harassment to be conducted promptly and thoroughly, was violated. The failure to promptly and thoroughly investigate the matter and the decision to take no action from May 23rd to June 14th had consequences. During that period, Aldrich continued to work with and travel with the team. On June 10th, during an evening of celebration after the Blackhawks' Stanley Cup win the previous day, Aldrich made an unwanted sexual advance towards a Blackhawks intern who was 22 years old at the time. Also after the Stanley Cup win, Aldrich continued to participate in celebrations in the presence of John Doe, who had made the complaint. Aldrich was also permitted to participate in Stanley Cup victory events, such as hosting the Stanley Cup for a day in his hometown and receiving a championship ring even after his departure from the team. After Mr. McDonough reported the information to the Director of Human Resources on June 14th, Aldrich was then given the option to undergo an investigation into what had occurred with John Doe or resign. He chose to resign, and no investigation was conducted. Our investigation uncovered no evidence that the Blackhawks owners, including the current chairman and current CEO, were aware of the events of 2010 at any time before John Doe's potential civil lawsuit was brought to their attention ahead of its filing. This also applies to the Blackhawks' current president of business operations and general counsel, both of whom joined the organization in 2021.
All right, so there's some stuff there that everyone knew. Everybody knew. No one did their job, including the president, the overseer, the man running all aspects of the team.
They violated their own policy. Was their failure to act immediately was a violation of their own policy, because as you heard the council just say, look, their policy is as soon as something comes up, you immediately research this and investigate it. And they decided against that, obviously, because of where they were in the season, in the postseason.
So, again, the entire investigation is online. It is all made public. I'll tweet you out the link if you want to see it for yourself. What does this mean for the Blackhawks now? Danny Wirtz is running the team, and this is what he says they are doing going forward in the wake of the investigation.
As we have mentioned, we received the final report yesterday, which addresses the sexual misconduct reported in 2010, as well as the organization's actions based on what we knew and when. We have also shared the report and our responsive plan of actions with the National Hockey League, and we thank Commissioner Bettman for trusting us with this process. As Reed stated, I want to emphasize that we gave his team very clear instructions that they should follow the investigation wherever the facts lead them. They conducted their work completely independently. The Blackhawks had no influence over the direction of their investigation or over the contents of the report. The report is both disturbing and difficult to read. It speaks for itself. Rocky and our leadership team reviewed the report, and we have had important and difficult conversations about how our organization will move forward. As we have stated, we will release the report to you in its entirety following this call, alongside a letter to our entire community that more specifically details numerous positive changes we've implemented throughout our organization since 2010, and especially over the past year. This includes robust policies, trainings, and distinguished personnel to implement and oversee our operations and, most importantly, demonstrate the culture and values we demand from all who represent the Blackhawks. We believe these actions underscore and solidify our commitment to do the right thing, even if it isn't easy. I also want to share that Stan Bowman has stepped aside. Rocky and I appreciate Stan's dedication to the Blackhawks and his many years of work for the team. However, we and he ultimately accept that in his first year as general manager, he made a mistake alongside our other senior executives at the time and did not take adequate action in 2010. Stan exhibited extreme professionalism and integrity in cooperating in the investigation, more so than his peers, and we cannot overstate the important role Stan played in revisiting that meeting in the report. I believe that if this had happened in 2021 with Stan at the helm, the Stan that I know and we know would have acted differently and been a louder voice in that room. None of the other executives who are involved in the Blackhawks' response in 2010 will be with the organization moving forward. Current Vice President of Hockey Strategy and Analytics, Kyle Davidson, will take on the role of interim general manager as we begin our search for new hockey operations leadership. We will provide a further statement from Stan following this call. We talk a lot about hockey culture. I believe one of the beautiful parts of our game is the focus on team success over individual achievements and accolades. But that cannot come at the expense of individual safety and well-being. It is clear that in 2010, the executives of this organization put team performance above all else. John Doe deserved better from the Blackhawks. And while we believe we have a strong legal defense, I've instructed our lawyers to see if we can reach a fair resolution consistent with the totality of the circumstances. The Blackhawks are a very different organization than we were in 2010. And I'm not talking about wins and losses. I am confident that this would not be tolerated in our organization today. We deeply regret the harm caused to John Doe and the other individuals who were affected and our failures to promptly address these allegations as we became aware of them. As an organization, we extend our profound apologies to these individuals who suffered from the misconduct of our former employee. We must and will do better. What the Chicago Blackhawks do off the ice is equally as important as anything we do on it. Our family and executive team are committed to ensuring that the Blackhawks adhere to the highest ethical, professional, and athletic standards. We intend to win championships without compromising our integrity. And we hope that we can continue to earn the trust and support of the entire Blackhawks community as we move forward with this as our primary goal. Thank you.
There you go. There was Danny Wirtz. And that's really the bulk of what you need to know from the press conference. Stan Bowman has stepped aside. I've got a Stan Bowman statement that I need to read you. They did a lot of protecting of Stan there, too, even though they came to the conclusion that he needs to step away.
There was a true presentation of assuming responsibility for what took place. But there's an aspect of this that I think you and I are on the same page of that isn't covered in this discussion that I think is ultimately
the biggest sin.
The even greater part. I mean, there's a lot of sin
to
here.
To me, why didn't they take questions? And that includes their biggest sin, which I would have asked today. They did not address this point of what happened with the fallout from this situation in 2010. 312-332-3776. who should be held accountable. Stan Bowman is out. They're doing a lot of leaning on it. It was his first year, and he was relying on John McDonough. John McDonough is obviously not with the team anymore. He was the big boss, and that is up to him. But he's also not with the team, so I think he's a fall guy here, too. And I want to get everyone's opinion on this, 332-3776. They did not take questions. I have many questions for the Blackhawks. We'll address that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We just played you some of the highlights slash lowlights from the press conference, the independent investigation from Jenner and Block holding the Blackhawks accountable. Danny Wirtz addressing the situation. Stan Bowman moving to the side. And I'll read you a statement. The biggest thing that I turned to Waddle, we watched this thing together, too, on the Zoom while it was happening.
Yeah.
And this was always my point when this first came out. Remember, when the lawsuits first came out and the stories written by The Athletic and other entities, when this came out this past May, and then they waited a month before hiring Jenner and Block to do the independent investigation, I was wondering, where are the Blackhawks with this, and why are they so quiet about it? The biggest thing that we learned about Brad Aldridge is that this happened, and they didn't fire him, and then they wrote him a letter of recommendation, I believe, at a university in Ohio.
Was it Miami University?
Right afterwards, where there were allegations about this behavior there, too. He quickly picked up and left. And then he went to coach high school kids in Michigan, where he eventually was busted for this, I believe with a minor, and served jail time, in which he was recently released. And this was not addressed today in the Blackhawks press conference by the man from Jenner and Block. This was not addressed by Rocky. This was not addressed by Danny Wirtz. Is their biggest sin, and there are many, many sins by many people in the organization, but their biggest sin is... they let this man walk. They never reported him to police. And he repeated the actions with other people and ruined other people's lives. And the Blackhawks could have stopped it. And like many abuse victims and many abusers, like Michigan State, oftentimes people, I don't know why, I never understood it, people turn the blind eye and they let them repeat their actions. And to me, that's what I want to know from the Blackhawks and Jenner and Block the most. Why didn't they ever go to police? Why did they just let him resign? Why did they write him a letter of recommendation? Yeah, why wasn't this ever told in other stops that they knew? He even confirmed there, it wasn't just this 20-year-old hockey player who is in Rockford.
Yeah.
It was an intern on I believe, the parade day that this guy, you know, made advances on. And again, he served jail time, guys, after this.
It's organizational negligence,
for sure.
Because
the Blackhawks did nothing.
Yeah. Look, it's... again, they failed. They violated their own procedure, their protocol, which is to immediately send this situation to human resources. That was violated. And again, I think there, like you said, there are too many victims, and there are so many awful details. But the one that's, and they all sting, but the one you just mentioned to me is the one the hardest to get your arms around, and maybe stings the most, is that you allowed this, you enabled this guy to go into a different community and be the predator that he was in another environment.
Yes.
You knew what you had.
You didn't stop it. You could have stopped it all. You could have stopped it all.
And I think that was that's a very difficult conversation for Rocky and Danny Wirtz. And it's probably the reason why there were no questions that were entertained today, because I would assume people that have followed this, the journalists that have followed this story most closely, that would be question number one or two or three. It would be in the team photo for the first question to be asked. What was it about this situation that you thought it was okay to turn a blind eye and under what circumstances did you think it was okay to write this guy a letter of recommendation so that he could go somewhere else?
Pat Boyle is going to join us at 3. He's going to explain this, too. I mean, the other part of some of these stories that I read about this before the independent investigation, when the journalists did the investigation, the other thing that they uncovered, and it was hit on briefly by Jenner and Block today in this press conference, was that the skills coach who he first turned to, who he first relied on, is the guy who went to Stan or someone in the organization to say, look, we've got this going on. And in the stories that were written, he, being in law enforcement in the past, had said, you guys need to report this to the police. And it's not...
So they weren't flying blind.
Right. And it's not just necessarily that they didn't report it right away to their own internal situation
HR,
with HR, and they didn't investigate. They were supposed to, as instructed by someone who had been with law enforcement before, to go to police.
This is a process.
And they didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, again, internally, Danny Wirtz talked about it. The council talked about it as well. I mean, they violated their own procedure, which I would imagine would lead you down these steps to deal with this in the proper fashion. And the first thing is immediately when something like this comes up, you immediately take it to HR. I would assume also that the person at the top of the food chain is the one that's ultimately responsible.
Right.
So we can sit and talk about how, you know, Coach Q and others and everybody and Stan Bowman and everyone was involved and the stench will stick to every one of them. But at the end of the day, I would assume procedure is that when you become aware of something like this, you immediately bring it to the attention of your boss.
Right. A lot of people are going to go after Coach Q. And yes, I'm not saying that he was in the right. He's the coach of the team. His responsibility is the team. And when he says in that meeting, we've got 4 more games to win, you can't bring this up now, that's when it's up to his bosses and people say, you coach the team.
Yeah.
We've got this.
Separation of church and state.
We've got this. You know what I mean? Like, when all this went down at Penn State, Joe Paterno is the coach, but he's also the CEO of the entire program.
Right.
He ran the shop.
Right.
Coach Quinville's not the CEO of the program. He's the coach. And John McDonough would like to walk around like he was the big boss at the United Center. For those who don't know, like, they had as little rules at the United Center that people would get in trouble in the United Center if salespeople had their tie down. Like, John McDonough enforced, you have to have your tie knot all the way up to the top. There's no relaxing on this job. Well, here's a man who wanted his fingerprints on everything, from the way your tie was knotted to the way we conducted celebrations, to the way we did this and that. It is up to him to do the right thing and share it with the Wirtzes.
Yeah.
Why didn't he go to Rocky Wirtz? Rocky says that him and Danny didn't know of any of this until the lawsuit was brought up.
Well, and I would think that based on the investigation that was taking place and that took place, that had John McDonough or others talked to Danny or Rocky Wirtz about this, that would have been relayed. So, I mean, I tend to believe that they did not know about it. Ultimately, though, it is their responsibility. Some of the things are just so hard to wrap your brain around. And I guess everything is possible in this day and age, but you know you've got an issue. You've delayed it because you're in quest of the, the Holy Grail, the Stanley Cup.
For the first time since 1961.
Don't get me wrong, right, people. I'm not condoning it. I'm just trying to paint the picture.
Right.
You know you've got a problem. You just described, and I'd forgotten about it, somebody, your skills coach, has a background in
law enforcement. And is telling you that not only do you have to report this internally, you have to go to the police in this instance.
So you don't act on it right away, which violates your own internal policy. And then when you do win the cup, this guy's allowed to actually participate in all of the functions. And not only that, he's a predator again with one of the interns.
Yes.
And he's also allowed to be around everybody, including John Doe, who was his victim.
So, right, and, like, then, we're going to give you the choice of you could resign. No, you're scum. We're getting rid of you, and we're going to investigate this not only with our situation, but we're going to make sure that you don't right. work again with another team, and we're going to report this to the police.
And again, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm not minimizing it. I'm just saying, like, I can't fathom. You know you've got a situation, a serious one. At the very least, you tell this guy he's not allowed to be around the organization any longer.
Instead, they're like, hey, Brad Aldridge, you're on bus 29 for the parade.
Right.
Hop aboard, pal.
Right.
And the other thing, I don't know if it was included in this, but not only that, he was allowed to spend a day with the cop. Did you remember that?
Yeah.
In his hometown.
Yeah.
That's what the findings found from Jenner and Block. They knew this happened. They told him you resign or you're going to get fired. They never reported it to the police. They never stopped the abuse from happening in other places. And they allowed him, after all of this, to spend a day with the cop. Yeah, what are they thinking?
Yeah, this was a failure, and it was a failure at the very top. So, and again, remember, like the quote says, too much is given, much will be required. So when you're the president of the organization, or you're the guy that the buck stops with you, these are really difficult things that you have to deal with. But that is part of your, you know, part of your job description.
So I've got the statement from Stan Bowman. So now let's paint the picture for what the Hawks have going on. All right. They obviously have this huge now controversy with this investigation, where many people who were very highly regarded in this organization that won three cups during the golden era of Blackhawks, now their reputation going on is completely, you know, been changed. And also currently with this is a hockey team, they have not won a game. They have not had a lead all year.
360 minutes and 57 seconds, I believe.
They are one of the worst teams in hockey. They have now no guy running the team. He probably should have been fired anyway based on performance. And they really defended him. And then you got a coach who needs to be fired, too. So you have as bad of a situation currently as you could possibly have. Not just with this controversy. This is a team in desperate need of leadership right now, and they have none. 332-3776.
You also said there's been a statement released by Stan Bowman.
I've got it. Yeah. I'll read that to you coming up next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Blackhawks are in turmoil on the ice and off the ice with this report. Huge news. They've been fined by the NHL $2 million. I've got the Stan Bowman statement. First, I want to read you a text that I got from someone who has worked with all these people inside that building firsthand through many, many years. And they texted me just now, said, such a good old boys organization, such a toxic culture, and they fiercely defended themselves and were confident they'd be absolved by all the wrongdoing. And then there's Stan pointing the finger and blaming McDonough. It'll be interesting to see if McDonough makes a statement, because I doubt he'll take any responsibility.
I'm asking the question, not making the statement. Who is, at the end of the day, who is right below ownership? Like, who would be in charge of all that? I've got this pyramid. This is an employee pyramid.
Well, it's McDonough. And there's one boss, and one boss only, under the Blackhawks. He had his hands on everything. Everything.
With that in mind, again, I don't know what protocol is. If the general manager gives it to the president, the president doesn't act, can the general manager then goes to HR on his own? You know, so, like...
Right, right.
I mean, every organization, everyone's going to hide behind some sort of plausible deniability in some ways.
And that's what Stan is leaning on in the statement here, too, about, you know, and they mentioned it, Danny Wirtz mentioned that Stan in 2021 would have acted differently than Stan in 2010, because he's been on the job. This was his first year as GM, and he was relying on his boss to handle it the correct way. So this is what Stan Bowman said. Again, he has resigned from the Blackhawks. Since joining the Blackhawks in 2000, I have been extremely grateful of the opportunities presented to me and proud of our accomplishments. This organization, beginning with the Wirtz family, has been extraordinarily good to my family and to me. That is why today, after discussions with Rocky and Danny, I have decided to step aside. The team needs to focus on its future, and my continued participation would be a distraction. I think too much of this organization to let that happen. 11 years ago, while serving in my first year as general manager, I was made aware of potential inappropriate behavior by a then video coach involving a player. I promptly reported the matter to the then president and CEO, who committed to handling the matter. I learned this year that the inappropriate behavior involved a serious allegation of sexual assault. I relied on the direction of my superior that he would take appropriate action. Looking back now, knowing he did not handle the matter promptly, I regret assuming he would do so. I am confident that this organization and the Wirtz family will continue to do what it takes to win championships with integrity and the goal of doing what is right. I am deeply grateful to the Blackhawks for the chance to manage the team, to the players for their dedication, and to the fans for their tremendous support over the years. It has been an honor to have been part of this incredible organization and to serve the best fans in hockey in the greatest city in the world. I will always cherish my time with the Chicago Blackhawks. On behalf of myself and my family, thank you. That's from Stan Bowman, who resigned today. Al McIsaac is also out.
Is that, and I would ask, if that is that inside their corporate, you know, procedure or policy, that you immediately, when you hear something or see something, you immediately report it to your superior?
Sure,
and,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. And so he's saying that's what he did. Now, right. and then, do you check back in with your superior to see if your superior has taken the necessary actions? And if you don't get the answer that you think is appropriate, then do you go to HR?
Right, and like what Coach Q is saying in this meeting of seven, hey, look, we got four more games. Let's put this off to the side again. Like, Jesse texted us. I don't know what would the harm have been if you said, and there's no harm, it's doing the right thing, but to the harm to the cup. It's May. You just beat San Jose. You just sweep them. You're on the road to your first cup since 1961. We got an issue
with
an investigation
guy.
With our video coach. We're putting him on leave.
That would have seemed like
we're conducting an investigation, and we will release the information at that time. Would anyone bat an eye?
I don't think so.
Would anyone bat an eye? How would that be a distraction? It's doing the right thing, and still, with the eye on the prize, on
again,
the ice.
To me, like, there are so many different awful parts of this story, but the one that stings most from my vantage point is the fact that what they did was allowed him to go to another environment and be a predator in another environment because of the lack of action.
Maybe in a few environments. We know he served jail time in his second stop after the Blackhawks, allegations from his first stop.
And it was reported, too, that the Blackhawks, somebody inside the organization, gave him a letter of recommendation, correct?
It's crazy. Jake in Rolling Meadows has a great question. And remember, in this entire press conference, all the good questions that were out there from reporters, anyone who was on this, there were no questions taken today. It's just statements and findings being released. Jake in Rolling Meadows, fire away.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about the hockey aspect of all this for a second. I'm going to believe what Danny and Rocky said today, and they had no involvement in the investigation. But even staying out of it, there was enough public information out there to know this report could turn out bad like it did. So why was Bowman allowed to act without restriction this offseason, trading in first-round picks and signing a guy like Seth Jones to a franchise-altering contract? This was a weird situation, obviously, and I don't think it's crazy for Danny to say, listen, Stan, we're going to let this thing play out, but in the meantime, we're not signing off on any, quote, bold moves this summer as we're venturing into kind of uncharted territory. I'm not minimizing anything that was said today. It's repugnant. But I had that question after reading everything today. Why did Stan have so much autonomy this summer with this hanging over his head?
It's a great question. I wondered the same thing, Jake. You made, like he said, you made huge moves.
Yeah.
huge moves this offseason. And the, here's the way the timeline goes, okay? They announced this today. The lawsuit comes out in May. The investigation by Jenner and Block is in June. Remember, it's then free agency and everything happens after all that, when after the cup, you know, that is handed out. So this is,
I would think also prior to even initiating the investigation, much less the results of the investigation, Danny and Rocky had to have had a conversation with Stan and cover all these issues, right?
I would. That's why when it happened, when they were making these moves, I'm like, I guess Stan's going to be okay when this investigation comes out.
Right.
And he wasn't. But they allowed him to do a lot of things like he was going to be a general manager here for the next 5 years.
Maybe they felt that as this thing went along, his plausible deniability would be that in his first year as the general manager, he reported this to his superior, and then that allowed him to wash his hands of it. Now it's on the desk of the president. Right. I don't know. I'm just saying that maybe that was his explanation for why they thought that this was still a viable relationship with Bowman in the organization.
Look, McDonough took many victory laps in his years as CEO. McDonough took a lot of credit for bringing back Pat Foley, for putting the games on television, for doing the stuff for Rocky, leading the organization, making the move. Remember, I believe it was them made the move to Joel Quenneville. Right. And saying Dennis Savard isn't enough. We need to win.
Which turned out to be a fantastic hockey move.
So when you're the almighty ruler of the team who is taking bows and victory laps after wins, yes. And you had a great question about McDonough's parting from the organization. Is the timeline truly true on when the Wirtz has found out about this? Waddle's got an interesting question. If you want to weigh in, your thoughts on the Blackhawks. They won three cups. And now, where the hell are they going? They have no team president / general manager. They have a coach who will be fired whenever the new leadership comes in. They have a team that hasn't won a game. They have a team that hasn't had a lead. And this is old man Wirtz stuff right here with what the Blackhawks are going through. We're talking about it, and we're going to talk to our guy, Patty Boyle, at 3:00.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Daniel Carcillo has an interesting tweet from 8 minutes ago. Remember, the Hawks tagline was always one goal.
Yeah.
Accountability. And he wrote one goal, .. accountability.
Fair request.
And so many whys on how this was all, how Brad Aldridge was allowed to work elsewhere without informing the police, how they let him just resign, how they wrote him a recommendation letter.
Listen, I'm no lawyer, and this is pure speculation. I would think that the accountability isn't limited to just John Doe. The accountability is going to stretch to the other people that were preyed upon by Aldridge, whether it was in Miami of Ohio, mm-hmm. and then a high schooler, too.
How could the Blackhawks allow that to happen? How could they allow him to work elsewhere
and
provide
a letter of recommendation for his next, you know, place of employment?
Right. That is a number one. There were other questions like, why was Stan Bowman allowed to totally reshape the team while the investigation was going on? And then now he walks away from the team.
And was this the true reason why John McDonough was let go?
This is what you asked earlier. We always thought it was abrupt. Was it COVID related? Did he not have a plan when COVID happened and Rocky? Or did the Wirtzes find out before the lawsuit came out?
Did this play a role in their decision?
Did they try to get ahead of it before there was a lawsuit by getting rid of McDonough? Has anyone really ever explained why he was fired?
Like, not that I know of.
Was it really truly a difference in philosophy then, and this is just something new we're learning about? Or were they hoping to get rid of this and then the problem would never surface?
Boy, that would be a bit naive, wouldn't it? That something as big as this would just go away?
But they thought it would go away allowed him to have the cup in his hometown.
Well, yes, but you know, X number of years later, and it's surfacing, and it's become a bigger issue. I would think that it would be significantly naive to believe that this was all just going to go away.
If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. Mike in Schererville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I just want to start out by saying, you know, I've been a lifelong Hawks fan. You know, I actually grew up playing hockey in the area, and I'm 38 years old right now. And this is truly just a heartbreaking story right now. And, you know, it puts just, you know, a sad, sad stain on the organization that I don't know will ever be wiped clean. And everybody that has now been named in this investigation, you know, is forever tied to it. And, you know, people can wonder all they want about Stan Bowman and moves he made this year, but none of that's important. You know, what's important are these, you know, these victims that were hurt in this whole process. And you had a group in the leadership department here in 2010 that they were all made aware of it in one way or another. And their names are in this report. And it's names like Joel Quenneville and Cheval Dayoff who are now in big positions with other organizations. And you have to wonder, does this follow them there now, too? I mean, is Q at fault for not saying something more? Is Chevy at the same time? You know, they're running organizations based on things they learned from the Hawks. Are they taking that same hush-hush culture elsewhere? This has to come to an end. And the whole point of Stan stepping away isn't for the reasons that the Hawks are so terrible on the standings this year. It's how morally wrong that they've been since the beginning of 2010. And we need to keep that at the forefront, that it's not about the standings right now. It's about these people, and it's about how this poorly this was run.
You know, it's a really
good
interesting
call, Mike.
And thanks, Mike. And I'm sure there are a lot of Blackhawks fans that feel like Mike, that this is, you know, beyond a gut punch for them. The cups were fabulous, but the pride that was instilled with being a fan of this organization for the last several years has, at this point, it feels a little weird at this point. I think it's a really good question. Like, what level of responsibility should Q feel? Like, I would have to know more about how these conversations went. Like, just for example, if Q's like, hey, my job is to coach this team right now. This is a very serious situation. I'm in the midst of trying to get somewhere this team hasn't been forever. You know, I think this needs to be dealt with. So I'm going to turn this over to the president of the organization. I have no idea what he said.
He wasn't right, but should it have been up to Q? You go over here, you conduct practice. We're going to set up the internal investigation. We're going to put this guy on leave. We're going to go to the police. That's not a Q issue.
That's my point.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not trying to cover for Q either. Like, this isn't my expertise, but I would think when you are meeting in the meeting of the minds and these high up people in the Blackhawks organization and Q is concerned about his team, you say, Q, we respect your input. He doesn't have to be right all the time.
No.
Like this is you could say we respect your input. This is above you. Coach the team.
Yeah,
we're taking care of it. We've got this because we're going to do the right thing.
I would think
and we're
going to
follow
thing.
Protocol.
I mean, look, as I would have assumed that players knew about this as well.
Oh yeah, and there were reports in about making fun of this player and practices. There are some disturbing articles out there.
Yeah.
I want to give proper attribution. I believe in the Athletic, there was a really detailed story written.
And again, I think that this story will stick to a lot of people. But if you're asking somebody, I think on Twitter, wherever, was asking, well, would Q be in danger of losing his job with the Panthers? Like, I don't know that I would need to know more about what he had to say and what his actions were. The end of the day, this is the responsibility, I would think, of you tell your superior, and then it becomes. Now, if the superior doesn't report it to the appropriate source and take the necessary procedure seriously, then I guess you could take it into your own hands and then go to HR on your own. But again, if you're in the process of coaching a hockey team and trying to win a Stanley Cup, I'm not trying to create cover for him either. I just don't know. Before I come out and say, oh, these guys are horrible, I would need to know more about what conversations were taking place with regard to Q.
332-3776. Paulie in Palm Beach, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Sorry for the double negative, but I give zero chance that the Wirtzes didn't know anything about what was going on. Come on. These guys know every intricacies of every company that they own. You're telling me now all of a sudden, coincidentally, they don't know. They didn't know anything about it. I'd like to know how many guys at Jenner and Block have season tickets to the Blackhawks and how many of them have been comped at a hockey game. I mean, the whole thing stinks from the top down. And you know what? You see a bunch of five guys today that are falling on swords because the Wirtzes are so powerful, they're going to take care of these guys for the rest of their lives. It's how could they not have known? Come on.
Right. And you could tell, by the way, they're wording it that Stan Bowman is going to be taken care of for the rest of his life. Like the way
I don't know what was Danny's was Danny Wirtz a part of the organization until recently?
No, not until recently. Right. No, he was not a part of this in 2010.
Right.
Danny is now the new leader. Rocky is more hands off now. And I believe
I understand his cynical feeling in that manner. I do.
Danny Wirtz took over as CEO December 16th, 2020.
Right, and he took over for John McDonough. I believe Danny was interim, was looking for the right guy. He's like, you know who's the most qualified? Me. I think that's how it happened.
Right. So, look, Danny Wirtz isn't the guy I would be banging on his door.
Well, and how much did John McDonough say, we're not bugging Rocky with any of this? I don't know any of that either.
I get the skepticism. Right. I do. I understand the skeptical feeling about it, but I don't know.
332-3776. And is this the reason why John McDonough was fired and it was never reported as such? We'll talk to Pat Boyle about this. Like, of course, all these victims that this guy then later affected their lives, Brad Aldridge. What happened in 2010 and what happens now for this team that hasn't had a lead all year? Pat Boyle will discuss with us in 2 short minutes.